Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to The Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. There's an old sad hymn that I love, written in the 1700s, and the first stanza goes like this. Come ye disconsolate, where'er ye languish, come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts, here tell your anguish. Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And years ago, I was at a garage sale and I bought this for maybe a buck, a plaque that says, Earth hath no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. I hang it on my wall, and I thought, you know, we should preach about this today. The truth is about healing. Some of our sorrows God heals in this life. Some of our sorrows He doesn't heal until the next life. Maybe you need healing for your marriage, for your finances, for your physical health, for your mental health. What I want to do this day is to look and see how Jesus heals us. Would you take out your Bible? Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, the healing of blind Bartimaeus, and let's pray first. Father, we want to pray for everyone watching our show that needs a healing of some kind, that Lord God, you would be their healer, and you would bring them in your time, in your way, the healing they need. We ask you to speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46, I want you, first of all, to see the wisdom of this blind man. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as Jesus was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting there by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus. Here's the first wisdom of the blind man. He cries out with his need. He doesn't keep it bottled up. He doesn't refuse to let people know he's hurting. He's going to be loud about this. You know, do that. When you've got a problem, don't be quiet about it. Talk to somebody about it. Might save you an ulcer. Get it out. You know, we've talked on this show many times about James chapter 5. If you're sick, get the anointing with oil and prayer from the elders. And I marvel how few people will do that. It's free. Doctors are expensive. So the first thing that made blind Bartimaeus wise was he was verbal about what he needed. And then look at verse 47. And he cried out, Jesus. Here's the next wisdom of the blind man. He cries out for Jesus. He doesn't cry out for a doctor or for a psychologist or for a New Age practitioner. He wants Jesus. You know, let me ask you, when you have a problem, I don't think anything's wrong with going to a friend or a Christian psychologist or something, but do you first and foremost get on your knees and take your problem to Jesus? Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You do that first. And the next wisdom of this blind man is verse 46. He cries out, Jesus, Son of David. The next thing, the blind man believes Jesus is the Messiah. The phrase Son of David is a messianic title. And I want you to get this. About 33 AD when this happened, I don't think anybody understood that Jesus was God. The disciples wouldn't get that till after the resurrection. Very few people understood Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one the Old Testament prophesied would come and save the Jews. But in some way anyway, a little anyway, this beggar understands Jesus is the Messiah. And then look at verse 47. He cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." There's the next wisdom of the blind man. He cries out for mercy. He doesn't say, "I've led a good life. I deserve to be healed. I've been yelling for healing for 20 years. Now get over it. I deserve." No. He just wants mercy. I was sitting next to a man on a plane. We start to talk. He goes to a more liberal church, and I'm guessing his pastor never preaches that we are sinners deserving hell in need of a Savior. And so I explained to him, until you realize that you're spiritually blind, that you're a sinner, and that you deserve God's wrath, the cross and Christ will make no sense to you. This beggar isn't asking for what he deserves. You don't want that. You want mercy. The Eastern Orthodox Church, since 500 AD, have been praying what they call the Jesus Prayer. They pray it over and over, and it goes like this: Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I invite you to say this out loud with me. Will you say that? Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When God opens your eyes to see your own sin and your need, you don't ask for what you deserve. You cry out for mercy. Verse 48. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he began crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." The next thing to say about this beggar, he was persistent. Everybody's telling him to shut up, and he said, "Nope." Years ago, I was in my church office and got a knock on the door. And here's a woman I had never seen before. And she said, "Pastor Brock, 30 years ago, I was confirmed in this church at this altar over there." And she said, "Then I got messed up, premarital sex, abortion. And I decided I need to come back to the altar where I was confirmed, and I need to rededicate my life to Christ. Can we do that?" And we went over to the altar. You know, she knelt. She confessed her sins. I put my hand on her head. I announced to her that through Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And she rededicated her life to Christ. But you know what she said? "My family did not want me to come in here. They do not want me going back to church. But I had to do this." She was persistent. You remember the Old Testament story where Jacob is wrestling with the angel? And Jacob gets the angel in half Nelson or something, and Joseph says to the angel, "I will not let you go until you bless me." He was persistent. I heard an old preacher say, that's the way we need to pray. "God, I'm just going to keep praying to you. I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me." Back in the 1800s, there was a famous preacher in England by the name of George Mueller. He founded an orphanage with 2,000 orphans. At age 70, George Mueller left England, and for the next 17 years, up until age 87, he preached around the world. He was known for being persistent in prayer. Here's the story. George Mueller had 5 unsaved friends. After 5 years of prayer, one of them was converted. Mueller prayed another 10 years, 2 more were converted. For another 25 years he prayed, and the 4th was saved. After his death, months after his death, the 5th one was saved. The lesson from blind Bartimaeus is persist toward the Lord. Don't let your family, don't let the crowd tell you to be quiet. You persist after the Lord. All right, let's turn from looking at the beggar now, and let's look at the mercy of Jesus. Look at verse 49. And Jesus stopped. Here's what I want you to see. Jesus stops when you call him. When you pray to the Lord, he stops what he's doing and he listens to you. Some people think, God's busy running the universe. I don't want to bother him with my puny problems.
No.
God's omniscient. That means he knows everything. God's omnipresent. That means he exists everywhere. God knows what you're going through. You might as well talk to him. You're not bothering him. He can handle 5 billion prayers at the same time. And look at the rest of verse 49. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." Here's the next lesson. Jesus calls for us. The blind man had been calling for Jesus, and now Jesus stops and calls for him. Jesus calls us. We do this TV show, and now and then I'll do an interview. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but at the end of almost every interview, at the beginning of every interview, I say, "Can you first, just for a minute, tell us how you came to know Christ?" And I love the stories. Oh, when I was 10 years old, my grandma. Or when I was 15 years old, I went to Bible camp. Or when I was 35 years old, I got cancer. Or, you know, it's just wonderful to see the different ways that God calls us. I know a woman, and she said to me one day, "Let me tell you how I came to Christ. I used to drive by this church," and I know this church, it's a good church, and she said, "I used to drive by this church," and she said this happened 5 times. "I heard a voice say, 'I am searching for you.'" And she said, after the 5th time of me driving by that church and hearing that voice, I decided to walk in that church, and that's how I got saved. God was calling her. Years ago, I'm in Texas, and there's an elderly couple that wants to have me over for dinner. And so we're at the table, and this elderly woman says, "Let me tell you how my family came to know the Lord. My grandfather was a horse thief in Texas. His band traveled around Texas stealing horses. You didn't leave the band of horse thieves or you'd lose your life. But one day," she said, "my grandpa heard the call of the Lord. And he went into the meeting that night and said, 'Men, do what you will, but I'm going to follow Christ and become a preacher.' And my grandfather walked out of the tent that night. Nobody lifted a finger. And that's how my family came to know Christ." Jesus calls us. Verse 49. "And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, arise, he is calling for you.' And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" Here's the next lesson. Jesus serves us. You know, normally we talk about us serving God, and we should, but 99% of the time, God is serving us. "What do you want me to do for you? Who puts all the food on your table? Who gives you your daily breath? Who gives you a universe to live in? Who, more than anything, gave you a Savior to save you from eternal punishment? Who gives you that mind to think and the walk? Yeah, who does? Yes, we should serve God, but 99% of the time, he's serving us. Verse 51. "And the blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Here's the next lesson. Jesus heals us. You might think, well, wait a minute. I've had this problem for 20 years. For 20 years, I've been asking him to heal my fill in the blank, and it's not healed. Well, Jesus has healed you. And here's what I mean by that. He might not have healed your physical ailment or your marriage or something else, but if you are a Christian and you know you're a sinner, he has forgiven your sins, he's given you eternal life in heaven, the big healing has already taken place. He always heals you that way. Verse 52. "And immediately he received his sight." Now, I want you to look at verse 52 and answer this question. How are we healed? And it says here, "Your faith, by faith in Jesus, we are healed." The reason this blind man gets healed is because he went to Jesus to get it. He didn't go to a doctor, psychologist, or this person or that person. He went to Jesus to get his healing. That's why he got healed. I will tell you this. This is kind of weird, but years ago, I was having weird stuff happen at night. I'd go to bed and this supernatural, weird, demonic stuff was going on. It was not normal. And I finally, after getting sick of this, I heard of a Lutheran pastor who had a deliverance ministry, who prays over people who are having demonic stuff going on. I went there and I was on my knees. He gave me Holy Communion. He prayed over me. Wow, did that help. If you need healing, you know, it's okay to go to a Christian psychologist, but first of all, go to Jesus and go to his ministers. Get some good help from the ministers of Christ. And then verse 52, and immediately he received his sight and began following Jesus on the road. Last lesson is this: when you are healed, you follow. So here was a young man that I knew just very little, but he was a football player at a university in Colorado, didn't have God in his life. He's out on the football field practicing, gets hit by lightning, almost dies. When he got healed, after that, he didn't start going to church every week. He started going to church every day. When you are healed, you follow. And I want to read this from an Episcopal woman by the name of Georgette Forney. I never really thought it would come to this. I was sexually active at 16. I became pregnant. But instead of asking for advice, instead of going to my parents, I decided have an abortion. A baby just didn't figure into my plans. After all, it was legal, so how could it be wrong? And if nobody knew, who would be harmed? Then it was done and forgotten, or so I thought. Even after accepting Christ at age 23 and repenting of my sins, I had stuffed the memory of the abortion so far down that it was almost an afterthought. So I set about getting to know God and trying to live a good Christian life. By the time I hit 35, I knew something wasn't right. I was miserable and overwhelmed with the stress of everyday life. I called out to God to search my heart and to show me the source of my anxiety. He had waited 19 years for this moment. He told me I already knew what the answer was, and he prompted me to remember the life I had aborted. Yet when I did this, the power of his loving embrace held me as I cried out my guilt and pain, fully surrendering myself and my baby to him. I never really thought it would come to this, but God's love is a forgiving love, no matter how long it takes. When Jesus forgives you and heals you, whether that's spiritually, physically, emotionally, you follow him. I just want to, let me sing that old hymn, the last two stanzas. Come ye disconsolate. Joy of the desolate, he's the light of the straying, he's the hope of the penitent, fadeless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter, tenderly saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Last verse. Here, see the bread of life, see waters flowing forth from the throne of God, fadeless and pure. Come to the feast of love, come ever knowing, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. If you need healing, bring it to Jesus. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the pastor study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with him. Pastor Tom, if a person has faith in Jesus, but they don't get healed, is something wrong with their faith?
You know, I'm going to say two things. Well, have you got the anointing with oil? It says in James 5, if you're sick, call for the elders to pray over you and get the anointing with oil. And if you haven't done that, you need to do that. But let's say you do that and you're still not healed. I know a gal who's going through a lot of pain for 2 years. She's gotten the anointing with oil, I think, twice now. And she says to me, you know, something wrong with my faith. What's going on here? And I said, no, this is part of the fall. Sometimes he heals us this side of heaven. Sometimes he doesn't heal us to the other side of heaven. But that doesn't mean something's wrong with your faith. It says in the Old Testament, now when Elisha died, when Elisha was sick of the illness of which he was to die, Elisha raised people from the dead. Nothing was wrong with his faith, but he died of an illness. So,
you know, you kind of answered my question that I was going to ask you, because I was going to ask you, what should you do if you are sick?
Yeah.
And you kind of explained that one. So I guess we can go on to my next question.
I mean, Jackie, God can heal people without the anointing with oil. I mean, you can just pray for healing and get healed. But that's the one thing we're told to do in James chapter 5. So.
Okay, what if a person's church doesn't offer the anointing of oil at their church?
All right.
Are there churches that don't?
Yeah, a lot of them don't. It's not on their radar screen. I mean, Jackie, some time ago I was attending a really good Lutheran church, and I was having shoulder problems. So I went up to the pastor and asked for the anointing with oil. I don't think this was on his radar screen. I don't think they had ever done it at that church. And I said, well, you know, the anointing with oil by the elders. This church didn't have elders. I'm thinking, hello? So, and I gently tried to, well, you know, it'd be nice. And so he grabbed some old guy and him, and and I'm grateful for them both, and they prayed over me. But if your church doesn't have the anointing with oil, I would gently encourage the pastor, can we start doing that, please?
If a person is sick, is it because they've sinned?
Okay. Maybe, maybe not. In John chapter 9, the disciples say, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, nobody sinned. This sickness is for the glory of God, and he heals the guy. All right, so Jackie, if you're sick, it's not necessarily because you've sinned. On the other hand, sometimes it is. If I get drunk and have a hangover, there's a connection. If I have all kinds of sex outside of marriage and get herpes, there's a connection. If I rob a bank and I end up in jail for 8 years, there's a connection. So sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay, so it isn't wrong, is it, for a Christian to go to a doctor?
I don't think it is. Now, first, go to the Lord. Before you go to the doctor, talk to God and pray for healing. So first you go to the Lord. But Luke was a physician in the New Testament. In fact, I have a doctor and I quoted that to her to make her feel good, kind of that, you know, Luke was a physician, so doctors are fine. And then Paul says to Timothy, take a little wine for the sake of your frequent stomach ailments. He doesn't say, Timothy, name it and claim it. He doesn't say, where's your faith? He says, take your medicine. So it's okay to go to doctors. Yeah.
Okay. As long as we're talking doctors, is it wrong to see like a psychologist? Aren't they doctors?
Yeah, they are.
There are people that go to psychologists all the time.
Well, I think it's okay for a Christian to see a psychologist. I'm just going to say this. Be careful. Because, Jackie, when I was a student in college, I went to the secular psychologist at the university. Man, did I get bad advice that really hurt me. So I would say if there's any way you can find a Christian psychologist who's not going to give you unbiblical advice, do your best to find a Christian psychologist. Yeah.
You know, Tom, I've got a question left here from our last program that we didn't answer.
Okay.
And I guess I'm going to go out of line a little
bit
and ask it.
Sure.
Europe and America used to be the most Christian parts of the world. Is that still true?
Well, it used to be Europe was very Christian. America was very Christian. Europe, for years now, has been people don't go to church in Europe. And, Jackie, a recent survey of people in England, this is the first time in centuries, they asked the people in England, are you Christian? A minority said, we are Christians in England. And that's the first time in centuries that's happened. So in America, too, we go to church in America a lot compared to the rest of the world. But in Asia, and especially in Africa, is where the gospel is spreading. That's becoming the new core of the faith. Yeah.
Tom, I'm looking at how much time we have left, mm-hmm. and it's not a great deal of time,
yeah.
but did you have any other questions that you want to talk about?
We get questions from people, and let me just... Are there certain Christians who have the gift of healing? If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there are Christians that are specially gifted in healing. So it is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So there's more than one way God can do this. So that was a question. And another question that came in is, Pastor Brock, let's ask this question. If you fall in love, Jackie, and you're a Christian, and your boyfriend is not a believer, is it okay to marry him in hopes that I'll convert him? And my answer is going to be no. And I get that from 1 Corinthians, where it says, do not be mismated with unbelievers. What partnership has light with darkness, or Christ with the devil? So if you're watching this show and you've fallen in love with someone who's not a believer, and you're going to keep with that person because you know you're probably going to convert them someday, I've talked to too many women, especially, who marry their unbelieving boyfriend thinking, yeah, he told me he'd start coming to church, and it never happened. So I wouldn't do that. We got a minute left, Jackie. Everybody, we want to just thank you for being with us. We have been on the show now for 30 years, but we've been on nationally for 8 years. So some of you are seeing us around the country. It's a lot of money to do this show. And now, everybody is a volunteer in the ministry except for me. I get a salary, but it's pretty meager. We're doing this show because we want people to come to Christ. So when you give to this ministry, there's a board of Christian people that oversee this ministry. All the money goes where it's supposed to, the great majority to buy TV time. If God nudges you, please pray for us. And if God nudges you to support us, some give us a gift monthly, others once a year, twice a year. But you'll see an address that we ask you to look at and pray for us. And we'll see you next time again at the Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching the Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
If you've been blessed by The Pastor's Study, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to help us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ? You can donate at our website, pastorsstudy.org, 2 S's, or mail a check to The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful week.